right in the middle of the season of Lent, which has traditionally been understood as a time of reflection, spiritual introspection, repentance, spiritual renewal, new beginnings, prayer, and almsgiving. We continue our journey to the cross sermon series. Last Sunday, we discussed the test, trial, and temptation of Jesus in a message called The Carnality Trap. But this morning, we shall focus on the appeal, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, taken from the movie Facing the Giants, a message entitled Facing Temptation to Quit. Facing Temptation to Quit, from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. But before we proceed here, I would like for you to rise to your feet if you are able, and we are going to go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. God, our eternal and immortal, invisible Father, we thank you for the joy and privilege of sitting in your presence here to listen to your word. We ask that you may prepare our hearts to be alert and receptive and comprehend the word of God that we hear today. May we be sensitive to the whisper of the Holy Spirit beyond the voice of the preacher. May the words of my mouth be acceptable before you, and our meditation together on this biblical text that we have today. Drive it to our hearts. May we be changed from glory to glory, and to one level of grace to the other. Because we ask in the mighty, marvelous, and worthy name of Jesus, and somebody in the house said amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. In our fallen world, we all face many kinds of temptation, especially the temptation to love the world more than we love God. John the Elder warns us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. The Bible says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." But apart from temptations coming from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, I'm sure at one time or another, we have all been tempted to give up, give in, or quit the faith in the face of discouragement, frustration, discontentment, impatience, and countless other unfavorable seasons. On the other hand, we also get tempted to quit on our relationships, church life, jobs, and life in general. Because when things get complicated, many of us often feel like packing our bags and going home prematurely, mainly because we have little endurance, patience, strength, courage, or resilience to carry on. But honestly speaking, there comes a time in life when we are tired of fighting and are depleted. A time when we say, you know what? I tried. I gave it my best. It didn't work. So, I quit. It could be a toxic or abusive relationship that you're in, a job, a friendship, a church community, or a challenging or difficult business partnership. We all know that when going through rough times, God often desires us to endure hardships, hold steady, wait on Him patiently, stand our ground, and fight a good fight of faith. But sometimes He wants us to quit fighting. Vamoose, or vacate the premises before He can bless us. He did this to Lot when He demanded that Lot and his family leave Sodom and Gomorrah as soon as possible. Lot could have said, no, I'm going to preach to these people the word of God and they will repent. So I'll stay here and fight and preach the gospel. But that was not the will of God. The will of God was for Lot to leave ASAP, as soon as possible. Because he had no idea what God was about to do. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord told Abram to leave his country, Haran, to a land called Canaan that flows with milk and honey. God promised that He will make him a great nation because He was going to bless him. He was going to make His name great, because He was going to be a blessing for many nations. He could have said, no, I'm staying put. If you want to bless me right here with my father and my household. But he obeyed God and left. And God blessed him. Israel was liberated from slavery in Egypt so that God can bless them in a land that flows with milk and honey. They could have said, we've been here for 500 years. We are going to stay here so you can bless us. One of us is going to become the new Pharaoh. And we will stop all this slavery thing going on. And we're going to be blessed right where we are planted. We're going to flourish. But they obeyed and left. Please understand that it might just be God's will for you to stop fighting and begin again in a non-toxic environment, somewhere else, not here, where you can thrive and begin to prosper. And sometimes, realizing that you've been fighting for a long time and you've been hitting this dead horse for too long, and living is a sign of maturity and just sheer wisdom. You can go somewhere else and begin again. Or you can stop doing what you're doing now and do something else and begin again with God. Some of us may have faced workplace bullying and harassment for a long time. And now it's affecting your mental health and well-being. Sometimes God closes some doors and calls us to leave the mundane, the routines of life that we are familiar with, and some of the influences that we like, so he can use us to accomplish his will somewhere else or doing something else. Now, let me pause here and say, if God is speaking to you, please leave that toxic workplace or community and close that chapter. In other words, break camp and stop putting up with abuse. It's not the will of God. But make sure you have a job lined up somewhere before you quit. It's called wisdom. I remember when I was working in the corporate world, a fellow employee was so mad with the boss that in the presence of customers, took off his company t-shirt and threw it on the ground in front of the boss while he yelled on top of his lungs, "I quit!" And he dashed out and drove off. And if you looked at him as he left, on the back he had tattooed some colorful words, which I can't actually mention. He was so mad. And that one begins with F, so you know what it means. This man felt so good quitting in a dramatic way. But you don't have to do that because it is a sign of immaturity. Put your 2-week resignation notice and if possible, help train your replacement. Live in peace, not in pieces. Please don't burn your bridges on your way out, because you may just need them to give you a good reference where you're going. Romans chapter 12 verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing good. But before we unpack our main text, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 to 15, let's define temptation so we are on the same page. Temptation is an enticement to disobey God's will. As we learned last week, temptation is not a sin, but by giving in to it, we consent to disobeying God and there are consequences with that. Temptation is further defined as a strong desire for wrongful pleasure that offers a temporary relief from unbearable circumstances. In other words, temptation is a lure to sin by the promise of pleasure, relief, gratification, or gain. It persuades man to do evil by omission or commission through deception. Temptation tests man's loyalty integrity, virtue, morals, values, faithfulness, and obedience to God's will, mission, and purpose. While Satan uses temptation to lure us away from God's will in order for us to gain temporary relief or pleasure, God, on the other hand, can and does use what is meant for evil by Satan to test, strengthen, and build our faith and character. And that is if we overcome the temptation. The big idea question from our central idea of the sermon is, how do we overcome the temptation to quit our faith? How do we overcome the temptation to quit our faith? As it was written to second generation Jewish believers who were being tempted to give in to pressure, give up on their newfound Christian faith, and return to Judaism. They were constantly under pressure from society, family members, peers, and the elders to return to Judaism or face persecution from Nero and the elders. Believing in Christ at the time was a life or death proposition. And the temptation for Jewish believers to leave their newfound faith, go back to their old religious practices, was irresistible. The writer of our text sets out to motivate and encourage these Jewish believers to stand their ground, overcome the temptation to quit the way of the cross. Their newfound faith, and put their faith and trust in no other than God. Just like Jesus, who himself overcame the temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane to give up and refuse to drink from the cup of suffering. And he said, "Lord, if it be your will, let it be done. But if possible, let this cup pass." The author of Hebrews gives them and us two things we must do to overcome the temptation to quit our faith. Number one, to overcome the temptation to quit our faith prematurely, we must make up our minds to hold firmly to the faith we profess. Hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 14 of our text. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 in the ESV says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. When we are about to give up, is there cheering us on? Don't quit. Don't quit. few more steps. Don't quit. He's there giving us the strength that we need to overcome temptation, which comes, by the way, when things are hard. When you are alone and you have no one to talk to encourage you, that's when Satan begins to whisper in your heart to give up. But the Holy Spirit will be there to encourage you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong." Nowadays, due to worldly pressure and the lure of worldly pleasure, many people are abandoning their faith because some are disgruntled with God and the church and simply quitting and walking away from the faith. They are being called religious nuns, atheists, agnostics, and religious duns, who are those people who consider themselves to be done with the church, but identify as spiritual and not religious. They don't want anything to do with the church. They want to be spiritual. They believe in God, but they don't want to be a part of the church. Probably because the church has been toxic for them in the past. But we as a community of faith are called to be a life-giving community that will change and transform people just by being a part of this community, so that people can come here and begin to thrive in their gifts and to flourish in their faith, to grow towards maturity in Christ. And that's our prayer. Christ overcame lots of temptations. And because of that, he can encourage us, comfort us when we face temptation to quit. Therefore, we don't need to give up. All we need is to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who himself endured the cross for our sake. I hope we can emulate Christ and trust God, saying, "Lord, may your will be done in my life and not mine." Holding fast to our hope and saying no to the pressure that we receive from the world. Galatians 6 verse 9, which we also read, encourages us. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we faint not or don't give up. There is an encouragement for you and a promise to hold on to. And last, to overcome the temptation to quit, we must draw near God's throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. And you find that in verse 16 of our text. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need." James chapter 4, verse 7 to 8 would add, "Therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 23 also tells us, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from all manner of guilt, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We can draw near to God through submitting to the Lord by placing our faith in him, through prayer, and by immersing ourselves in his works. And that includes fellowship with other believers, being a part of a faith community, receiving admonition, correction, and rebuke sometimes, as well as encouragement. That's how we grow saints, because we only know in part. Now, as we begin our descent here, to those who think that we cannot quit our faith because no one can snatch us out of the hand of God, think again. Even Jesus and the apostles were tempted. So, what makes you think you are exempt from temptation to give up on your faith? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful not to fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is expected of humanity. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God will provide a way for you to endure it. So whatever you can do, stand, and stand your ground. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 in the Amplified would say, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Last night, I had a dream, and I saw a few young kids jumping into some kind of a stream that led to a lagoon or some sort of reservoir. And I kept warning them not to do that because that was sewer water. But they didn't listen to me. I could see a few parents there supervising, making sure that the kids are not drowning. But nobody listened to me except for a few who left, and others continued swimming and ignored what I was saying. Even if I had a megaphone there, they would not have listened to me. So as you listen to the word of God, it's just like you are jumping or swimming in the river of persecution that is not called for, abuse that is not called for. and you are in a situation where God is saying, leave now, and you decide to stay because you did not take time to listen to what God is saying to you and what is not saying to you. And you didn't ask God, what would you want me to do about this? Because God, to some of you, would want you to leave out of that contaminated water that might make you sick and find refuge somewhere else. So I want to ask you a question. What is God saying to you this morning? Don't be like those kids who didn't listen to me. But what is God saying to you? And what do you think God would like you to do about what you listened to today? In a moment, we're going to have communion together, and Ivy will come up and lead us in a song together with Wes, and then Jaime will come up and read scripture for us and pray for the communion, and then we'll come up and have communion together. God bless you. Thank you for your time.